Hey, let's get ready to study the Word of God. We are in a very important study dealing with the resurrection of our Savior, the one most essential, dramatic events in all human history, the resurrection from the dead of a member of the human race, the God-man Jesus Christ. So let's begin with the word of prayer, that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to the things we need to know and understand, that will have an impact on our own life, encourage us to live under those four things that we're studying in Colossians 1, not being moved away from the hope of the gospel, things like that. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the resurrection of our Savior. There is our hope, our confidence of our own resurrection, and of being with Him bodily for all eternity. And Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. When I was in college, senior, I took a senior level. You had to be a senior to take it. Speech course on speech writing, and the man that taught it had two PhDs. In different subjects related to that, and it was quite effective and informative. We studied various speeches in history, and then we had to write one, of course, and we could pick out, be a preacher, be a politician, be a business executive, whatever, and it was very effective. And it's a shame that Americans across the board cannot recognize a great speech. They're so involved with their own agenda and what they want that they can't hear a great speech. And if you heard the president last night, that was a great speech. That was a powerful speech. I don't know. He didn't have a teleprompter that I could tell. Did he? And, okay, up there on board, all right. It didn't look like he was reading too well or reading it, but he does, he's good at it. And whoever wrote that speech, I'm sure he was what he wanted, but whoever wrote that, great speech writer. Who was it, hon?
Thinning hair.
That was a brilliantly written, brilliantly delivered speech. What we learned, what you do in a speech, and we even related this to letter writing. You decide, first thing you got to decide, what do I want? What do I want to say in this letter? What do I want to say in the speech? Do I want action? Do I want just them to have information? What do I want the people to do or the person that's writing? And then what we did, you wrote down, depending on the circumstances, but maybe 10 for a letter or 50 for a speech, words that you want to be sure that you incorporate into your speech. And you just have 50 words, that just these are things that I want to be sure that I relate. And I was just overwhelmed with the delivery of that speech. And one of the internet news things did an excellent job. They said, Trump stands for unity, Democrats sat for division. And it was just so truthful. And I hope, I really do, maybe even pray, that the constituents of these Democrats back home vote them out. And vote in Democrats who are constitutional. You can be a Democrat, be very constitutional. You don't have to be a Republican, but these people are not even constitutional. And it was a really super moment to hear our leader speak in that way, and the things that he had to say. And you know, you get the news attitude about it, which was a lot of negative. It was so interesting. In his speech, he said, we've got to get off of the minors, things that are unimportant. And that's exactly what they emphasized. They talked about his wife's dress. They talked about the people wearing white. They talked about all kinds of things that, who cares? Who cares? And they did exactly what he was talking about. Don't do. And but it was just really, and what I was going to say was, what's important, not what the media thinks, but what America, and boy, the stock market shot. Highest it's ever been in history. And those are the things that you look for. You don't forget the media. Look at the real indicators. And the stock market, the producers, these kind of people, not your comedians and movie stars and these other idiots. But look at the people who contribute. And what are they doing with what's being said? And it was just really, I thought, a very wonderful. Went into prayer for him while he was speaking. And I'll tell you who I've prayed for. Sitting up there, Vice President Pence. Now, I don't know if Trump's a Christian. I hope that he is. I pray that he is. If he isn't, I pray that he will be. But I know Pence is. And so right there, his right-hand man is a born-again believer who loves the Word of God. He and his wife used to attend Bible classes in Indiana. And so be in prayer for Pence, be in prayer for Trump, be in prayer for Pence and the staff, and be in prayer for Ron Paul that he'll find something else to do. And that's my prayer for him, that he'll find something else to get involved in. Now, last Wednesday night, we spent a few minutes at the beginning of class talking about the persecution of the Jews throughout Europe, blamed for the plague, the Black Plague. Well, the Jews are not the only ones persecuted through history. In late February of 303 A.D., Emperor Diocletian ordered the general persecution of Christians in Rome. That went out all over the Roman Empire. It was least carried out in drastic form up into Britain area. But all around the main area of Rome and the Roman Empire, they killed, murdered Christians, took their property, burned them, killed them. It was the last and probably the most severe punishment of Christians in the Roman Empire. Now, let me tell you a bit about Diocletian. He had his beloved son, Britannicus, poisoned, and his own mother, Agrippina, cut open. Why? So that he could see where he once laid. This is a real neat guy. Real neat guy. He wanted to see the place where he had been laid. He had his faithful wife, Octavia, put to death with the sword because she was barren. And Seneca, his favorite, the faithful teacher, bled to death and poisoned. Now, the thing here is, this is what kind of guy he was. And after setting Rome on fire around AD 69-70, Nero blamed Christians. And therefore, Christians were killed under Nero's reign. Not nearly as many as were killed under Diocletian. But nevertheless, throughout Rome, and they were killed violently. Even some Romans who thought they should be executed were appalled at the way that they were executed and the manner in which they were crucified. You might remember Peter was crucified upside down under Nero. Paul was decapitated under Nero. So he played a very strong part in Satan trying to stop this movement called Christianity and destroy the movement of the local church. But even worse than Nero was the persecution under Diocletian. 303 A.D. And about February of 303 A.D., where it is estimated 20,000 Christians died. Even if they're half right, that's 10,000 Christians died as martyrs. In 303, he issued the edict that rescinded the rights of Christians. Why did he do this? What was his problem? Now, Nero did it because the people were going to blame him for that fire, saying that he did it for his own entertainment, which he did. Now, what was Diocletian's problem with Christians? They were not worshiping the Roman gods. They would not sacrifice. They would not sacrifice to the Roman gods. And therefore, he wanted them banned. And if they still didn't, he wanted them executed. And because they did not get along with the traditional Roman religious practice. And they simply wouldn't offer sacrifices to the gods. Now, the end, by the way, of the persecution of the Christians under Diocletian was rescinded by Constantine when he came into power. But I think you know Christians are persecuted throughout the world today, namely under Muslim Islam, but other reasons, other religions also want to destroy Christians. Well, just wanted you to give fair time to Christians. Last week we saw how Jews were being persecuted. I want to give Christians a fair time. They also were being persecuted. Okay, let's resume our study on He has risen. The angel said to the ladies who came to the tomb, He has risen. And we're looking at the doctrine of the resurrection. Last week, very quickly, we did the Roman numeral 1 definition. There are two returning from the dead. One is resuscitation and the other resurrection. There have been many resuscitations in the Old Testament and in the New. But there has never been a resurrection until Jesus Christ. A resuscitation is where you're brought back from the dead, but you'll die eventually again. Lazarus came back from the dead, but he died later on eventually. So these people have the unique pleasure of dying twice. But it is the resurrection of Christ that is unique in history. Roman numeral 2, the resurrection is part of the gospel. We read this in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Roman numeral 3, the importance of the resurrection related to faith in Jesus Christ is given 1 Corinthians 15, 12-17. So, just showing you how important the resurrection is to our very gospel. Roman numeral 4, the resurrection emphasizes the difference between a theophany and a Christophany, theophany, appearance of Christ before the incarnation, and a Christophany, appearance after the incarnation. Okay, that brings us now tonight to Roman numeral 5. Right? We got the 8? Well, I put my paper clip in the wrong place. All right, quickly. Roman numeral 5, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is part of the victory in the angelic conflict. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-25. 6, the resurrection is necessary for the perpetuation of the line of David, promised in the Old Testament. And Romans chapter 1, 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, 2. 7, the resurrection of Christ indicates completion of the ministry of justification, Romans 4, 25. 8, the agents of resurrection, and that is where we left off, the agents. So we studied how all the members of the Godhead are involved as agents. That brings us now to Roman numeral 9. Okay? Sometimes I forget to mark exactly where I leave off, okay? So I have to go back in. And when I first started doing that, Jews would come in, what is that? I said, that's me. I'm trying to find out where I left off last week. So I go on the internet and I take it way over to the end. Now, oh, right there. So I act like I know what I'm doing. All right. Roman numeral 9. The resurrection is necessary for the advance of the plan of God. Isaiah 53:10, he shall see a seed, he shall prolong his days. Prolonging his days is the eternity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point 10. Okay, now we get serious. And you're going to learn something tonight about your own text. 10. The resurrection of Christ is the basis for the believer's confidence in the future. It's the basis of the believer's confidence in the future. In Colossians chapter 1, the hope of the gospel. Here I'm wording it differently, confidence in the future. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. All right, we're going to read verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wrong. It's a plural. From the deaths. If you don't trust me, you can ask Kit. And don't you have your a Greek tongue? Right? But it's a plural. Isn't that strange? Even scholars don't translate the plural. Kenneth Wiest, a scholar, doesn't translate the plural. They don't even try to make it like an emphatic death or a great death or something. They just completely ignore it. People can't do that. Well, but they can't explain it. They cannot explain the plural here of deaths. But you can put it in your text. There's an S at the end of deaths. It's the deaths. It's plural. Why is it plural? Physical and spiritual death of Jesus Christ. So verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people, let me just stop and say, every time I see this, I got to remind you, the Jews never called him Father in a personal way, and they never prayed to him as Father. You and I have that intimate relationship with him because we're of Christ. Christ is his Son. God is the Father of Christ. You are in Christ. We share the relationship with the Father. Therefore, every time you say, Heavenly Father, think about it. That's because of your position in Christ that you get to say that. That you have that rapport with him. So blessed be the God and Father, the God of Jesus Christ and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the humanity of Christ. Who, according to his great mercy, his Father, the God the Father's great mercy, has caused us to be born again. Now, in John 3, it says born again. No, what it says is you must be born from above. Born from above. This one is correct. Born again. So we're either born from above or born again. Same thing. I'm just giving you the two different ways in which this concept is presented to us in the Word of God. Cause us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He was resurrected physically from his physical death. He was resurrected spiritually alive from his spiritual death on the cross. Now, let's move on. Verse 4. To obtain, he was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the deaths to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. For you. you have an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, physical resurrection, spiritual resurrection. You have this inheritance. Verse 5, who are protected, for you who are protected by the power of God, that's the Holy Spirit, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, some time ago we studied the three salvations. Salvation 1, your eternal life salvation. Salvation 2, your spiritual recovery as a believer when you're in sin. You make a spiritual recovery or a salvation. 3, there is a salvation, a deliverance, if you please, at the point of the rapture of the church. So therefore, this makes a very beautiful pact in regard to the resurrection of Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has, and you know what mercy is? Mercy is withholding what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. See? So mercy is withholding what we deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We deserve the lake of fire. But He extended mercy. Mercy is the withholding of what we deserve. Grace is giving us what we do not deserve. So, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the deaths, to obtain an inheritance. Right, why the resurrection from the deaths? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. People, there's something in heaven for you right now. Right now. Now, don't go out there thinking you want to go to it now, because you'll get there soon enough in God's perfect timing. I have a good friend that's always going to die. Since he was 37 years old, I'm going to die. I'm going to die this year. I'm going to die this week. I'm going to die tomorrow. He did. He ain't about ready to die. Oh, it's tomorrow you're going to die. Okay. You let it out. I didn't.
We were wondering.
Well, since he did that, enjoy him tonight. Because when you see him Sunday, you're going to have to be very careful. Just let him walk in slowly. He will pass the big 7-0, and just be gentle with him. Just be gentle with him. And when he misses a note on the piano, just let it go. And these kind of things, just be nice to him. Okay. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protect you, the believers, protected by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's in you as a seal, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, point 11. Point 11. There are two general resurrections. There are two general resurrections. The first resurrection is for believers only and involves eternal life. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. John chapter 5, 24 through 29. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. Revelation 20, 6 and 13. So that's the first one. The second general resurrection, which involves unbelievers only. There's a resurrection for believers, a resurrection for unbelievers only. And it is the last judgment, or the lake of fire. Matthew 25, 41. 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Revelation 20, 5 through 15. So we have two resurrections. One resurrection, believers. One resurrection, unbelievers. Now, what's the difference in the two? The difference in the two is John 3:36. So let's look at John 3:36. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, and that is faith, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. There are a lot of people today denying the wrath of God. People, we live in difficult time. The church is in trouble today. Kid and I were talking to before class tonight, since he's retired and just noticing things and thinking about maybe getting to be a pastor or fulfilling that. He is a pastor, but getting to fulfill it. He's just noticing number of churches that don't have pastors and don't want them. They don't want them. Why don't they want them? They don't want to be under a man. They don't want to be under that authority. A lot of churches today are social clubs under the name of God. They don't want to study the Word of God. They don't want it. The best way to avoid it, have your local church. Don't have a pastor. Have a board of elders and this kind of thing. But people, the church is in trouble today. And a lot of teaching, false teaching. And I read the Daily Report that hyper-Calvinism is infiltrating the Southern Baptist Convention. And along with the Calvinism is a disdain for Jews, Israel, and all that type of stuff. And just a nod, as it were, to Jesus Christ. The church is in trouble. A lot of trouble. You've got to make up your mind where you stand in all of this, these regards as to what's going on. Okay, Roman numeral 12. The first resurrection, remember we have one believers, one unbelievers. The first resurrection occurs in four orders. Four orders. Four battalions, if you're a believer, if you're a military background. All right, four orders. All right, compared to a battalion review in 1 Corinthians 15. Compared to an Italian review in 1 Corinthians 15, where the word for battalion is used. It's a word, it can be easily translated, battalion. And the reviewing stand is, God the Father, where God the Father is. Now, so here just imagine you have four battalions, the stand that they're going to march in front of for review. Okay, the first company. The first company has already passed by. That's called the Alpha Company. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So as it were, if we want to picture it, he walked by himself. He has passed the reviewing stand right into eternity in a resurrected body. He is raised from the dead and is the first fruits. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 21. But let's look at John 20:21. John 20:21. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He's already passed the review, ready to be used in that sense. Also Acts 2:31-34. Acts 2. What's Acts 2? What's Acts 2? Acts chapter 2. Pentecost. Good. That's when the Holy Spirit came. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. Some of these chapters should just jump out at you. Acts chapter 2. All right, Acts chapter 2, 31 through 34. 31, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Well, in one of these studies on Wednesday night, we're going to study witnesses of the resurrection. But we're all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. So this is Jesus Christ has already passed in review. All right. That brings us to the second company. The next group to the resurrection, this is the Bravo group, the first group Alpha. That's Jesus Christ. And then we now have the Bravo company. And the Bravo company, since Jesus Christ has already passed, right behind him would be who? The royal family. His body, the church. So the second group in the resurrection are the church age believers. That's you and me. The highest privilege that they could have right now. So they're the next group. So we have the cross. Here's the cross. Then we have the burial and resurrection of Christ. Then we have the great bracket of history, and I'm going to call it a bracket, and you'll see why when we get to this point in Colossians chapter 1. It's not a parenthesis, it's a bracket. Now, so here's the bracket. That's the church. After the bracket is over, the church is resurrected. So you have Alpha and Bravo, B Company, Bravo Company. The church has been resurrected as a result of his resurrection. Now, the next group to pass in review, Charlie Company. Now, Charlie Company, who is that going to be? All right. The royal family should have been. Now, the next company to resurrect the royal family of God, the rapture of the church. Charlie Company, resurrection at the end of the Jewish age. That's the end of the tribulation. Remember, we call it tribulation, and I'm okay with that. As long as you know, these are the last 8 years promised to Israel. They were promised 390 years. 383 years, Christ came and they rejected him. So there's 7 years unfulfilled. So what we call the rapture, the seven, why it's 7 years, it's the end of the age of Israel. Now, at the end of this period, there's another resurrection, and that's all the believers of the tribulation, Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile. So, this is the Charlie Company. Okay, so that completes the Age of Israel. Okay, Jesus Christ, the Alpha Company. The Bravo Company is the church, and Charlie Company is the family of God, and that leaves Delta, the final company to march in review, and this refers to all the millennial saints. So here we are with the rapture. We've got Jesus Christ resurrected, bracket of the church age, resurrection of church age believers, 7 years tribulation, resurrection of all those saved in the tribulational period, and then we start the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. In that 1,000 years, Jew and Gentiles will come to believe in Jesus Christ, and at the end of that period, resurrection and then eternity future. So there's the four companies of the resurrection. Any questions? Yes. I'm sorry?
Testament.
Yes, yes. Old Testament saints resurrected at the end of the tribulation, with the end of the age of Israel. So there are Gentile and Jewish believers in the Old Testament. For example, Adam to Abraham. Methuselah is going to be resurrected. So he's a Gentile. But all the Jews will be resurrected that believed in the Messiah, coming Messiah, at the end of the tribulational period. Thank you. Got to put that down. Okay. Now, that brings us to point 13. 13. Resurrection and the victory of the church. The victory of the church. The church is motivated to advance to maturity through the fulfillment of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, 4. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. And that's part of what we're studying in Colossians chapter 1, where, let's just look at it very quickly to put it in perspective. It doesn't say anything about the resurrection, but let me just show you what we got in Colossians chapter 1 that we're looking at, verse 23. Colossians 1, 23. If indeed you continue in faith, firmly established, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, what is the hope of the gospel? That's that I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be with Christ. And I know that's going to happen. Therefore, it influences how we live now. If I were teaching singles, I'd say, why do you want to remain a virgin, boys and girls? Why do you want to remain a virgin? Because God has someone special for you. So you postpone that with the confidence that God has a plan for you. See? So this is why we live the way we do. We're going to live a certain way because we know. We know we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We know we're going to be with him forever. We're going to have a body just like his, 1 John 4. Have a body, 3. Just body just like his, and we're going to be with him for all eternity. So these are things that cause us, motivate us to live in a certain way of life. Walking in the newness of life. That's the Spirit-filled life. New life, Spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit's new to us. Spirit-filled life. So this becomes something phenomenal. Okay, point 14. Point 14. I'm sorry? Y'all want point 13? Okay. Oh, okay, I got you. I'm sorry, I got you. There is no point 14, but we're here with 13. All right? Point 13. Yeah, point 13 we did cover. This is point 14. Huh? 14? Well, you're ready for 14? I am too. I am too. I am too. So we might as well cover it. Let me see. There's one thing that I failed to point out. No, it's 14. It's 14. Let me see something here. Let's go back to point 6. I left out something very important for your Bibles. Point 6. The resurrection is necessary for the perpetuation of the line of David. Romans chapter 1, 1 through 3. 3 through 4. I got another passage I want you to look at under that point. I was wondering how I missed this. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. So if you write in your Bibles, get ready. 2 Timothy 2, and let's look at verse 8. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Wrong. Dead is in the plural. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the deaths. And the translators and scholars, they can't understand this. They don't understand the plural of deaths here. And sometimes what they do when there's a plural, they try to use it as magnifying something great, deaths or something like that. They don't even try that with this. They just ignore the plural. But if you're a Greek student at all, first year Greek student, it's plural, deaths. So.
Do they understand the doctrines there?
I'm sorry?
Do they understand the doctrines because of the plural? The scholars.
Yeah. Do they understand it's a plural in reading? They don't understand why it's a plural, so they just ignore it. And they just translate it singular. Kind of use John Hintz's Passover rule. Just pass over it. And that's what they do. I mean, I can show you a number of scholars that I use on each book of the Bible, and not a one of them. I look at every one of them. They all just do death. Death. And no explanation in their commentary. Not one even said, it's in the plural, but I don't understand that. They're not going to do that.
They're only recognizing the physical death?
Yeah. Yes. That's all they're recognizing. That's it. Oh, they're missing a bunch. Yeah. Now, in their defense, I think if I had the opportunity to sit down with Kenneth Weiss and talk about it, he'd go, yeah, of course. Maybe wrong, but I think so. Huh? Well, he's long dead. He knows it now. He knows the truth now. He knows the truth. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:8, and we're dealing with the resurrection necessary for the line of David. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. So there, why does he say that? Davidic throne. The Davidic throne. According to my gospel. So the resurrection is part of the gospel and that we're dealing with. Okay, now we come to 14. Even I have number 14. If the rest of you don't, we feel sorry for you. Yes. Yes.
Okay, do you go back to the original manuscripts and see if there's a plural in there?
Yeah, they're, all the manuscripts have plural. Yes. Yes.
I looked it up in both 1 Peter and this Necron, and it says plural.
Mm-hmm. And they, yeah, they're not. There's not a textual criticism problem. Sometimes it's a good point because sometimes there could be a textual criticism problem, a textual problem in a writing. But there's not on these. There's not one textual criticism. Not one. Well, one has plural, singular. One, no, you don't have that. Every manuscript we have has a plural. So, which makes it nice for us. We don't have to battle the textual critics. Okay, finally, the grace of God and the resurrection. The grace of God and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll be glad when we get to 1 Corinthians 15. And I pray God keeps me alive till I do. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's note the last verse, verse 57 of this great chapter. But thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the victory because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This victory that God gives us is not a victory we earn. It's not a victory we earn. You can't earn a victory by becoming, by doing something. You earn it, if you want to use that word, when you become a member of the body of Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, it's one of those 34 things that God gives you. So this is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back now to John chapter, or Matthew, excuse me. Matthew, yes.
You said the first resurrection. Is there not a second resurrection?
Yeah, second. The first resurrection, believers. Second resurrection, unbelievers. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. There are two resurrections. First one, believers. Second one, unbelievers. And then we looked at John.
Point. I don't know if we're going to have a separate point.
Yeah, no. No. Okay. Matthew 28.
I have a question.
Yes.
Revelation 20, verse 5.
Revelation 25.
20, verse 5.
All right. 20, verse 5.
The first resurrection is believers, and the second resurrection in the different companies. And the second resurrection is the unbelievers.
Yes.
Okay. Verse 20, verse 5.
The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. That is their for their resurrection of the believers there.
Okay. Would you read that again?
Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. Verse chapter 20 is very important in history. The rest of the dead did not come to life, did not rise during the tribulation. They did not rise during it, but until the 1,000 years were complete. This is the first resurrection. They will be resurrected along with all other believers, Jesus Christ, Church, Old Testament, and then they're part of that first resurrection. I'm sorry?
Then you're talking about? I mean, you...
D company.
D company? Delta?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're part of that. They don't rise during the millennium, but at the end of the millennium, they're resurrected.
So unbelievers, that's not considered a resurrection.
Well, it's considered a resurrection of the dead. They're brought forth to judgment before God to be cast into the lake of fire with Satan.
How much to afford to that?
That's what resurrection you don't want, because you're resurrected to death. Okay, Matthew chapter 28, and that moves us now, after the Sabbath, as it began to draw dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and descended from heaven, rolled away the stone, and sat upon it. Four verbs, four things this angel did. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. We don't know how long. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid so as to run away. For I know that you are coming, you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he was lying." We'll begin at verse 7 next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. What a book. Father, we regret that we have to work and get involved in a curse and get involved in life. It'd be so nice if we could just study the Word of God all day, every day. Take a lunch break. But that's an eternity. When we will spend eternity listening to Jesus Christ teach. We know this from Isaiah. So Father, we thank you so much for this book. You tell us everything we need to know. Maybe not everything we want to know, but everything we need to know. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for showing us the resurrection of our Savior and how important it is to us. Father, we pray that this teaching will be set aside to the glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.